Welcome to the Way of the Womb podcast. My name is Beck, I'm your host, and I'm a trauma-informed holistic birthing doula, womb worker, and earth lover. I am here to support you and all womb owners, whether that's through your monthly cycles and navigating the everyday, or whether that's to support your journey through the rite of passage of pregnancy and birth. My passion is to support souls to come home to themselves, so you can connect back to your innate power, your intuition, and the wisdom of your body, so you can feel empowered and live your truth. On this platform, we will be discussing periods, pregnancy, plant medicine, birth, trauma, mental health, spirituality, earth to body connection, and everything in between. This is a place for conscious souls to gather, so that together we can heal, thrive, and live authentically, unapologetically as ourselves. This is the Way of the Womb podcast. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Way of the Womb podcast. This is a conversation that I've been waiting to have for bloody months with the beautiful Shani. So thank you so much for coming on, Shani.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here. I know sometimes these things take time and then there's just divine timing and here we are. So
exactly, all unfolds exactly as it's meant to. So I'm really excited about today's topic because it's something that, you know, we see birth preparation and preparing for conscious conception and all of this stuff all the time. What we don't really see the moving through of birth trauma and ancestral birth trauma or even womb healing. I know that's a big part of what I feel really called to support women to go through. But you know, it's all focused on learning about the physiology of birth, learning about hormones, setting up your environment. Of course, all these things are really important. But the somatic, physical, mental, emotional work on undoing our blueprints around birth and the birth story is so important. So I would love you to tell us a little bit about you and what it is you do.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think all those things you just mentioned are really important and definitely make somebody feel safe to know all the facts and the information and to, you know, to be able to make their own informed choices. But it's so fascinating because one of the things that I work with is rebirthing breath work. So my name is Shani, and I'm a rebirthing breath worker. I'm a trained doula as well. I hold women's circles. I'm an ancestral healer, and I work very much with the birth script through the ancestral healing in my sessions. And so what's really interesting, every time I ask somebody who comes to either a one-to-one breathwork session with me or a group journey, I always ask them if they know anything about their own birth, the way that they came into the world. You know, in one-to-one sessions, I ask people to actually fill in a form and have that conversation with their mum, if possible, if their mum is, you know, something that they're in contact with their mother or their mother is here on this earth plane, to be able to have that conversation with them. And often that already brings up a triggering process. And that is part of the journey, to connect back with the birth script. And the amount of people that don't have really any idea of how they arrived on this planet is quite incredible, really. Most people can tell you the time they were born, and maybe they'll have some sort of story around, you know, oh, it was really difficult for my mom, and you know, my mom was in a lot of pain, or there's a kind of, or I was a really easy birth, but they don't know the details, and they certainly don't know, as you said, about conscious conception, how they were conceived, you know, what was happening for their mother during the pregnancy, what were her emotions, feelings, what was ancestrally being passed down to her. And then the birth itself, most people don't ever have that conversation. And I found that actually mums don't tend to have that conversation with their children as a protective mechanism. So either the mother wants to disassociate from it if it was a really traumatic birth, or they might, you know, say stories like, oh, you were such hard, it was such hard work with you, and I was in so much pain, gosh, you didn't come for days, or you shot out of me, you know, these little phrases that we hear that have an imprint on actually our deep subconscious beliefs about the way that we operate in the world. And I find it fascinating, and I find it incredible the number of people that don't know how they came into the world.
So interesting. And I think, you know, talking about kind of our mother's generation as well, they're, you know, the way we sit in women's circles and sit and talk and share, I feel like there wasn't really that space there. No one really was like, do you want to have a birth debrief and go through the somatic trauma of your birth experience or whatever? It wasn't there. It was like, how'd you get on? Oh yeah, no, it was a bit difficult, but I got on with it. Like, chin up, crack on kind of thing. I know that a lot of women I speak to, because that's one of the first questions that I ask as well when I start working with women, is what do you know about your birth story? Because it does hold such an imprint. Like, I know I've said before on other podcasts that if a baby is born in an oxytocin environment, that has an imprint on your nervous system and on your body on a cellular level, and therefore how you show up in the world.
And your conception as well. Think about the way that you conceive. Like, if you have a conscious conception, like it's intentional, and both of the parents want this and they create the space for it. You know, if you were conceived as you know, in a way that wasn't expected, or it was a shock to the parents, or the financial situation wasn't good, or it was a result of any kind of abuse or rape or anything like that, then actually, like, that already creates the imprint at a cellular level. And it's from that moment we don't know. We do know. Our body knows.
Yeah, of course. Always bloody knows, doesn't it? But like, even before then as well, especially as women, know how our grandmothers birthed as well, what our mother's imprint was throughout her whole life experience. You know, we were there on a cellular level in egg form before we were even a thought in anyone's mind.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. And it's like,
how is this not being spoken about? And, you know, when we start going into epigenetics and how it's carried, and, you know, the experiences of birth, because a lot of the time we can birth how our mothers birthed, because it's imprinted in our bodies on a cellular level. So you know, if we're born in oxytocin, or the opposite of that, we're born in an adrenaline-based situation. You know, if you people sometimes hear that and can be like, well, really? Like,
You know, I can give you many examples of birth script and how that impacts, you know, well, my personal journey. I've done a lot of exploration of my own birth script, because, you know, when I trained to be a breath worker and rebirthing specifically, you know, there are so many different types of breath work out there, and they all have their own, you know, amazing benefits in so many ways. The thing that I love about rebirthing breath work, and I always say this to everyone that I work with, I don't come at breath work from a space of, you know, let's go, and let's have a masculine approach to the breath work. I'm very much coming at it from an ancestral healing perspective of, like, let's heal the mother line in your birth script through this type of breath work. And actually, let's look at that, because, you know, I can give you an example. Last night, when I held a breathwork journey for a group of people, it was very interesting to me to see that one of the participants, the way that he was breathing, it was as if he was really forcing the inhale on his conscious connected breath, as if he was trying to prove something. And I asked him about his birth story, about his birth script. And all that he was able to share was that he had fluid on the lungs before he was born. And I then asked him, well, do you always feel like you need to prove yourself in life? Are you someone that's constantly trying to prove yourself? And I could tell it from the way he was breathing. He was like, yeah, I'm always having to prove myself. And that was, for me, that was the energetic imprint of, like, if his mum, he told me that a nurse had said that he was fine, and a more senior doctor had said, actually, this is not fine, we need to get him out straight away, he's got fluid on the lungs. And so in that moment, there's an imprint of, like, well, I'm not going to survive. Like, I have to fight to survive. I'm going to prove to you that I belong here. I'm going to prove to you that I can be here and I'm worth being here on this planet. And so just from looking at the way he was breathing, I asked him that question. He was like, yeah, I've always had to prove myself. And I was like, right, yeah, it's so deeply connected to your birth script. And through the breath, I can tell that what's going on for the person energetically. I just tuned into his energy and I could just see this little boy that was struggling to prove, like, mum, hey, I get to survive. Like, I'm here. Hello.
Yeah. Like, wow, that's so powerful. And yeah, I'd love to ask you, when you refer to the birth script, what actually is that?
Yeah. So when I talk about the birth script, it's the moment of conception throughout the pregnancy, and then the moments or even, you know, months after the birth, because, you know, from being a doula that there's obviously, if it's a traumatic birth, there can be disassociation from the mother. She can disassociate. The child then feels this lack of attachment. If they're taken away and put in an incubator, a lot of incubator babies that I've worked with often struggle with temperature control, but also have a massive sense of abandonment and often feel like they're being left out in the cold. You know, or they're being excluded or abandoned, left out, that kind of feeling. So those imprints from the conception all the way through and up to the moments after the birth, or even the months after the birth, are your birth script. And often during that time, unconsciously, you're making kind of like a vow of how you are going to navigate your way through the world or operate yourself through the world. Okay. And for most babies, you've touched on, you know, if you're born in an oxytocin kind of birth, and the mum, you know, it's an ecstatic birth. The mum is obviously maybe in pain, but still really happy and in a space of safety and calm, and her partner's there, and the birth is going the way that she wanted it to go. You know, that way the baby is coming out in a much safer, held, nurtured environment, where maybe that first breath that they take is not as painful and traumatic as most of us who came into this world. And that first breath is often a breath of like, like, I have to struggle to survive. Like, life is hard. Like, I have to fight for my survival. And I don't know anyone really that always 100% feels safe in their body.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know. I know people work with embodiment and, you know, there are many people out there doing this work, but I can't say that any given time, even people that work with embodiment practices feel safe in their body 100% of the time.
That would be bloody lovely.
Wouldn't it? That would just be like amazing. But most of us, I would say all of us, do not. And yeah, when you think about that first breath that the baby takes, I mean, if I can talk about even, you know, examples of my own birth script, I've done a lot of in-depth work into my birth script. And some of it is on a more practical level of the patterns of behavior that I display in my life as a result of my actual birth. But I'd like to also touch upon some ancestral connections that's affected me as well. If that's okay, I'd like to share a couple of stories.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So my mother had a baby before me that she lost. She gave birth to a baby. He didn't survive. It was very traumatic for my mother. She bled a lot. They weren't sure she was going to survive. She was in a foreign country at the time. So, you know, there wasn't the language barrier. Everything was very, very difficult for her. And this baby was called Daniel. They named the baby. On an ancestral karmic level, I have had two very difficult, toxic karmic relationships with men called Daniel in my life. And both of those men actually expressed to me that they really liked being with me because of my motherly energy. This was actual words that came out of their mouth.
Wow,
and they were both extremely, extremely toxic for me in the space of they sucked my energy. I was often left after being with them extremely depleted to the point of sickness. Like, I was ill, like my throat would clam up. I'd get really bad sinus pain. Really bad headaches. I'd have to take time off work. You know, and yet I was magnetically drawn to them. Like, I couldn't stop the kind of magnetic draw to them.
Mm.
And then when I moved back to the UK, I'd lived abroad for 10 years and both of these men actually happened abroad. And when I came back to, in two separate countries, when I came back to the UK, I had to move back in with my mum and dad. It was April 2020. We know what happened to the world then. So I moved back in with mum and dad, and that was the next level of the spiritual awakening.
Oh,
and
God,
all the work that I've been hilarious because all the work I'd been doing in the country I'd lived in before was around my dad. Because I was living in the country that he was born in, and I came back to the UK and it all started to be about my mum, which is the country she was born in. And at the time, I was still working through a lot of childhood, I'm not going to say trauma because my dad didn't traumatize me, that's not fair, but certainly childhood wounding around my father, my relationship with my father and men, and trusting the masculine. And he just didn't see me. Like, we'd be sitting at the kitchen table and he'd ask a question about me to my mum, but I was right next to him at the table, and he kept doing it, or he'd address my mum and not me. And he just wouldn't see me in the space. And I couldn't understand why. I was like, I'm right here. Like, why don't you see me? And I just kind of intuitively felt into like, well, someone's not been seen in my family. Like, there's some sort of in my lineage, someone's not been seen, and it's quite immediate. And I felt that it was the baby. And I asked my mum, did you ever get to see Daniel? Did you ever get to see him, the baby? And she said, no, they took him away before either of us could see him.
Oh my gosh.
And so in that moment, I absolutely knew that there was an energetic blueprint in me, because I was next in the womb after him, that was stopping me from being seen by my dad for who I was. Because my dad just never understood me and never tried to get to know me. Like, he loved me, but in his own way, but just didn't really ever take an interest in anything that I was sharing or doing, or just never really tried to get to know me. And I didn't feel seen by him at all. And so I sat in a meditation with the baby, and I asked him to stop. I was like, I'm really sorry that you didn't get to come into this world. And I'm sorry that you didn't get to be part of this family, but you have to stop. You have to stop what you're doing, because I need to be seen. I am here, and I did get to be here, and that's not my fault. Mm-hmm. And I was next in the womb. And I sat with it, and I did that, and I cut cords with it. And it really, really dramatically changed the relationship with my dad.
Wow.
So that's on like a really deep, more ancestral level around the birth script.
Yeah.
On a more kind of practical level, I was a planned cesarean baby as a result of my mum's emergency cesarean with the previous baby. And I am not good with punctuality. I'm bad with punctuality. I always think I have more time than I do, and I try and fit too much into my time. And then I didn't choose when I came into this world.
Yeah.
It was not my choice. Mm-hmm. That choice was taken, like my sovereignty was taken away from me at birth, because I didn't choose when I came into this world. And I have found a lot of people who struggle with punctuality. Often people who struggle to be on time, so they're always a bit late, often are cesarean babies or babies that have been induced.
Yes, because they were asked to come before they were fully ready to arrive.
Exactly.
It's so interesting, because when I've spoken to clients, and we've, especially when I've done like womb work and around conscious conception with people, and we really dive into the womb stuff, and we do talk about relationship with mother and their birth story, their grandmother's birth story, we don't do any breath work, but we do more somatic trauma work. And really being able to see the mirroring and the correlation of how the birth story is show, or the birth script, as you say, is showing up in their world today, and how they show up in their relationships, and just kind of weaving them two threads together that people don't really speak about or think of can be so transformative for people.
Absolutely. I would really encourage like anyone who's looking to get pregnant and is wanting that kind of not to bring, you know, the ancestral trauma through into their child's lives, like anyone who's looking for that and wants conscious conception and conscious birthing, anyone who's showing up in your world, I'm sure, I would highly recommend that they come for a series of rebirthing breathwork sessions, both them and their partner. I like more for them, but and their partner too, because their partner is part of the conception, and those imprints are there. So I would highly, highly recommend any couples looking to get pregnant and, you know, wanting not to bring all of their baggage with them towards their child. I mean, you're always going to bring some baggage because we're human and that's okay. But, you know,
if you're fully healed, but
yeah, but if you're, you know, if you're looking to shed some of those things, or you don't even know that you have those things and you're curious and you want to work on that, I would highly, highly recommend you come for a series of breathwork sessions. And I'm happy to share, you know, my details at the end of the podcast. And,
yeah,
and
absolutely. That would be amazing. Thank you.
Yeah.
I think it's really, you know, people might be listening, being like, okay, well, I could have had that experience, but how is that going to support me in my birth now? And I just wanted to speak a little bit to, I'm sure you'll be able to speak on the, to this as well, Shanae. Mm. But, you know, when we go into the birth space, into the birth dance, we really move from our neocortex into our, you know, primitive or reptilian brain. And when we do that, we are opening ourselves up to not only spiritually and energetically and physically, but we're also opening up any stories that are sat stagnant in our subconscious or unconscious mind or somatically in our body as an opening for them to come to the surface.
Absolutely. So, it's really, just another spiritual awakening. It's like another evolution of yourself.
It is. And that's why I spoke about this on my Planet Birth group, Facebook group the other day, about how pregnancy is a healing journey. And we can start clearing out all of these stories, because actually what we're doing is creating the best environment for our babies to come into this earth and for our future grandchildren as well. And, you know, just from hearing you speak about your ancestral story, how when we do this work, it's not just for us and for our babies and our grandchildren, it's for the ancestors that have come before us as well. Absolutely. That weren't able to heal these stories. And so, yeah, I just think it's so incredible that we have this knowledge and we have this awareness and we have an opportunity to move through. Because imagine all the shit we're potentially carrying, you know. Absolutely. Especially the way births are happening now in the maternity system, you know, it's, let's face it, it's fucked right now. So
I'd love to give another example, actually, actually just recently this summer, this wasn't a conscious healing on my birth script, but talking about what you just said, you know, about the birthing system and the medical system and everything. So I touched upon the fact that I was a cesarean baby, that obviously that would not have been my choice. I don't blame my mum, because she obviously had to do that because of the previous trauma from the birth. I don't blame her in any way for it. And also I want mothers to know that, you know, people who do come to me for breath work and who are already mothers, like, I don't want them to ever feel guilty or judging of their own birth, because things happen and life happens and we're human and we have to go through things that, you know.
Yeah, thank you for saying that, because I was going to ask you to speak to that as well for people that have experiences like that, and, you know, who might have resistance to doing it due to that or feel guilt because of how it might have impacted their baby.
Absolutely. And I always preface that, like, anyone who has a child or, you know, is anyone who is already a mother, like, I always say, this is not here for you to feel guilty or to, you know, for you to be judged. This is not about, it's not really for mothers about their journey with their birth, with their child. It's more about their birth, how they came into the world. Mm-hmm. So it's less about, you know, the trauma that they experienced as a mother, as opposed to a baby. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But also just, yeah, definitely no judgment or guilt around that at all. You know, we all have unique journeys into the world.
Absolutely.
This was a very bizarre and unconscious, unexpected healing around my birth script. We were at a festival this summer, and an artist was playing that everybody wanted to go and see. And we went into the tent, and it was kind of this, I've always also always struggled with, like, small spaces and crowds, and I don't like lots of noise and lots of lights and lots of people. I've always really struggled with it. And so we're in this tent, and it is open sided, but it's, you know, there's, like, psychedelic artwork on the ceiling, and the music was loud, and there were lights and beams and people. And the artist started playing, and I know his music is medicine music, so it's obviously activating and triggering anyway. But I'm looking around and everyone was having the time of their lives, and I literally froze, and I had to put my hand on my heart and my womb, and I started to cry, and I was like, this is horrible for me. And I closed my eyes, and all I could see was my birth. All I could see was like the bright lights in the hospital, the noise, the doctors, the sounds, the lights, the crowds, the people, the chatting, the noise. That was all I could see. And around me at the festival, I kept tuning energetically into people talking about drugs. And this was a sober festival. So it was weird that all I could hear was people talking about pharmaceutical drugs, not like plant-based. And I was so like tuned into that, and it made me feel nauseous and it made me feel sick.
Wow. And having a full somatic experience.
Full somatic experience that I actually had to get out of that tent. Mm-hmm. I went and found a place to lie down, and I must have fallen asleep for 2 hours because I don't even know how long. The lady came and woke me up and said, you know, we're closing now, the cafe area. You know, you need to get up. And it actually exhausted me to be in that space for about 10 minutes. And I had no idea that that was why I struggled so much with bright lights and loud sounds and lots of people and crowds. But it was so obvious to me that that happened. And another thing that happened to me was in the doula training, when they started talking about epidurals, I was sat on the sofa and I just literally numbed out for about 15 minutes. I literally conked out, was in a liminal space where I didn't hear anything that was going on. I came back to, and I was like, have we finished talking about epidurals now? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, I'm pretty sure my mum must have had an epidural with me. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
she never asked her. Yeah, and she did. Yeah, she did.
She will have done.
Yeah, I didn't know. I'd never asked that question, actually. And I literally felt the numbness from the epidural energetically in my body, sent me to sleep or conked me out, or I don't know where I went, to be honest. It was just like this weird numbness.
Interesting. And gosh, yeah, I'm just thinking back to, you know, it makes you reflect on your own birth story. And yeah, as far like, I do know quite a lot about my birth story, as much as my mum can kind of remember, as not having it written down or anything like that, or much reflection on it at the time. I was quite a quick in what's it called, quotations, normal there, about 6 hours, but there definitely was fear around it towards the end, because my mum, basically they said, we're going to give you 3 pushes, 6 hours from the first contraction, so it's not like she'd been there for fucking 3 days. On her back in the hospital. My auntie was the midwife, actually, who was supporting the birth. However, she wasn't the one that had said that to my mum, but the doctor came and said, I'm giving you 3 pushes, and if you don't get it out, then I'm getting the forceps. And my mum just said she remembers looking at the clock, and it was like 10 to 4 or something in the morning, and she was like, this baby's coming out by 4, because they're not coming near my baby, like they're not putting the forceps anywhere near my baby.
Wow.
And I was born before then. When I was born, I had like passed meconium, and everyone was like, oh, she was really stressed, thank God, and all of that. And actually now we know that that's not always the case at all. But yes, it's really interesting. There wasn't, you know, a cesarean or anything, but just reflecting on that and how there was potential a spike in adrenaline afterwards because of the concern for if I was okay, if I was distressed, or like a thank God, like she'd been under pressure to get me out. I do wonder if she wasn't lying on her back, any of them conversations would have happened anyway, if she'd have birthed me at home. It's all them kind of, we can always ask them questions, can't we?
But it just like, just even for being taken out of her own power and being given essentially what sounded to me when you said it like an ultimatum. Like, yeah. I'm giving you three more pushes.
Yeah, like as if it's like, you need to be given permission for that. Like,
yeah, it's like when a parent says to a child, oh, I'm giving you 10 seconds to get your shoes on or I'm leaving without you. You know, that sort of like, it's really threatening, actually. I don't, like, even when you said that to me, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, it's like, be a good little girl and get it done when I say.
Putting her in that position is so much pressure.
Absolutely, absolutely. So anyway, I would love to hear what actually rebirthing is. What is rebirth and breathwork, and what is the process of it? What happened in and around it, apart from removing all your birth trauma, having an awakening, and all of the things?
Yeah, so in the actual breathwork set, I mean, when I work one-to-one with clients, obviously it's very tailored to them. We do spend the first session looking at the birth script itself and exploring what's known as the personal lie versus your personal, they call it the personal law. I like to call it your eternal truth. So looking at kind of the vow that you've made, that you've lived your life by unconsciously due to that, and then how we can transform that into the way that actually you want to be living your life, and how, you know, that's the kind of aim for the journey by the end, is that you are empowered and sovereign enough to be living your life, you know, and have that self-mastery. So, but in the breathwork session itself, I often teach people a shorter version of the breath just to connect them to see what it feels like to breathe in a conscious, connected way. And by conscious, connected way, I mean inhale and exhale with no pause in between. And I use nose breathing, and it's actually more beneficial to use nose breathing than mouth breathing. We're meant to breathe through our noses. We have little hairs in our noses that are filtering out all the dust and all the, you know, bacteria and everything. But many of us do mouth breathe, and mouth breathing can lead to a whole other host of problems. Can sometimes feel like you're hyperventilating, like you can't breathe properly, halitosis, snoring, all sorts of different things. So we use the nose. Also, you're taking in more oxygen through the nose as well. So you're creating more of a life force energy within the body. Often the sessions take place lying down. So people need to get themselves into a really comfortable space. You know, if it's in person and they're here with me, I'll set up the environment for them, make them feel very safe. We often do some journeying work or meditation work before that, and tuning in and just seeing ancestrally what wants to come through before we go into the breathwork session. The same with online. It's just that they have their own environment and their own space, and I'm still there to guide them. And then I always open the space because I see it as a ceremony. It's not just a breathwork session. For me, it's a journey. It's a ceremony, and it's sacred. So I open the space with a prayer and a blessing, calling in the guides and the ancestors, giving thanks to the elements, and calling in the directions and allowing that space to be held and safe. And I always ask that there is no energy transference between us, because I'm very energetically in tune with my clients and what's going on for them. And they start with the breath. So I encourage them to start with deeper inhales and exhales, purely through the nose with no pause between the inhale and the exhale. After a while, their breath will take over with a life of its own, and their breath will just know where to go and where to take them. And there are several things that can happen during the breathwork session that can feel quite uncomfortable, particularly if it's the first time that you're doing it. So I always explain that before the session. You can get tingling, especially in the extremities, so fingers, hands, toes, sometimes legs, sometimes top of the crown. A lot of people who have a lot of difficulty with speaking their truth or expressing themselves or boundaries will find that their lips will go like this, and it all tightens up, and their whole jaw might tighten up, and they can't actually express. And that's a release of like all those imprints of when they didn't speak their truth, or they felt shut down, or they weren't heard. Somatically as well, your body can want to move in a whole variety of ways, and it's just allowing your body to do so, to release. Emotions, you can experience a whole array of emotions. I always joke, I'm like, you can be angry and feel grief and sadness, and you can be laughing and ecstatic the next minute. And you can also feel a real sense of bliss, and at the end of the session you should feel a massive sense of bliss, which I like to call the sacred rest. At which point I check in with everybody to check where they are, and then I'll put some really nice relaxing music and just let them lie there for a while, because it's, we don't often get a space of sacred rest where we don't need to be anywhere or do anything or be needed by anyone or have to give an answer to anyone. Other things that can happen in the session, you can get hot or cold, so change in temperature. And sometimes people get tetany, which is essentially what's known as lobster claws, where your hands go, you know, cramped. And often that's a real sign of mistrust or fear. So if you're holding on to lots of fear, mistrust, and you're unable to surrender to certain processes, that can often come through. And then later on, when you've done a few sessions, often people start to have slightly less somatic experiences and more visual experiences. So you're activating your DMT, and you can start to see visions and ideas start to come through, and you get clarity, and you start to feel expansive, and you know, you can get messages coming through of things that, like, you've been waiting to hear for a while, or things that you need to experience in your life. So it is a journey, and it does take, you know, several sessions. We recommend 10. I always recommend a journey of 10 sessions to really kind of go through the arc and get to the point where you feel that you can do it yourself. Okay. And at the end of the session, I always close the space down with a closing prayer, and just cut the cords and close that space down. And in the session itself, I will just bring my multidimensional self. So you might get some light language healing. You might get some singing. You might get some sound bowls. You might get some shamanic work. It just depends what comes up.
Close through that. Wow, beautiful. It sounds like a real journey. And so it's safe for people who are pregnant to also do this journey.
Yeah, with pregnant ladies, so often with this breath work, we don't encourage people to talk during the session unless they really feel desperately uncomfortable and they might want to share something. But as soon as you start to talk about it, it takes you out of the body and into the mind. So encourage people to stay somatically, purely in the body, and feel the experience with all its uncomfortableness. With pregnant women, it's okay for pregnant women to speak. I would allow them to go much more gently with the breath, so pulling in less power and keeping it connected. Last night I had a lady in my journey who suffers with I can't remember what she called it, but it was something in her nose that could burst the blood vessels in her nose. And obviously I didn't ask her to go powerfully at all. I was like, you need to keep it really, really gentle. And if you need to say anything to me, you can. And it would be the same thing. And she still had an experience, and she still had a journey with it in a much more gentle breath.
Yeah. And for someone that's holds, thank you for explaining that. For someone that holds a lot of trauma somatically in their body, is it also an opportunity for people that have had, like, you know, if, I know it's about your own birth story, but I know that there'll be people listening to this that have experienced quite severe birth trauma themselves with their own births. And obviously that can come into it as well. If someone has experienced, like, quite an intense experience, like a birth trauma, is there an option to have, like, a slower, less intense version to support you on that journey? Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, the breath knows, it's a medicine. So, you know, like with any medicine that you take, it knows, it's like this kind of divine technology, if you will just find and locate the parts of your body that need that healing and allow it to come out and be released. It's not going to take you to places that you can't handle.
Yeah,
it's not going to take you there, because your body knows and you know. So yeah, it's you know, and with guidance, like if I can see that it's too much, there's ways to slow it down and bring it back. And yeah, you can control it.
With the people you've worked with previously, when they have had sessions or kind of, you know, even brought to light their own birth script and seen it and worked on it, and potentially even with their mothers as well, I imagine even having them conversations is very healing or triggering for the mothers involved. So they've never spoken about their births as well. Have you seen people make correlations between their birth, how it shows up in their life, and through doing breath work or bringing awareness to it, seeing people changing, not changing themselves, but having a different lived experience after moving that through the body?
Absolutely. 100%. 100%. Like me included. Like yeah. I went to see a breath worker initially before I ever trained to be, before I even knew what breath work was. Someone recommended it to me. I was very much living in a free state of a lot of trauma that I had, post-traumatic stress. And I was living in a free state, and I went to see a breath worker, and it took me maybe like 4 sessions before I could actually unfreeze myself. And it honestly was through that I started to connect to my intuition. I was able to start asking for things. I was able to use my voice. I was able to release anger. I was able to release a lot of grief, a lot of regrets, I had a lot of trouble with making decisions due to a lot of traumatic experiences that I'd had. Didn't trust my decisions as a result. I was living a lot in like freeze, like I can't make a decision. So I just froze. And it really, really helped me on the journey enough to say, I want to train to do this. Obviously then to pass that wisdom on to other people and to see their transformation, absolutely see it. Even within I had a client yesterday, he's been for 3 sessions now. And he already said to me, he's like, it's already helping me to express myself better in my relationship. I know I'm doing this for my daughter. I'm getting less angry at her because I'm less frustrated because I'm taking more time for myself. And I'm like, it's already like, you can see, yeah, massive knock-on effect. Of course.
Beautiful. So, and what I love most about it is that it's available to every one of us. You know, it's not something external that we're putting into our body to take us to a different plane or have a different experience. We all are having this lived experience through our breath now. And actually how interwoven breath is into the way we birth, the way we live, everything, and how we have access to it constantly when we constantly receive messages about how we are in our bodies and emotionally by each breath that we take.
And so many people are walking around holding their breath.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So much breath holding, like shame.
And short, shallow breathing as well, rather than elongated breathing. So interesting.
Yeah.
And so I would love for you to share how people can find you, how people can work with you as we come to wrap it up. I've loved this episode so much. So much juice in it.
Yes. Oh, I can talk about this all day. I love it. It's so interesting. It's fascinating, isn't it? Honestly. It really is. So you can find me on Instagram. You can find me at _ShaniBella. So ShaniBella. I'll send you all the info after, so you can put it in the notes, I guess. Or you can find me on Facebook at the same name, ShaniBella. You can look at my website, which is www.shanibellacoaching.co.uk. I'm definitely getting rid of the coaching. I used coaching when I first did this work, but I'm so more much. I've evolved as a multidimensional being, and it no longer resonates. But you can still find me there at www.shanibellacoaching.co.uk. And I have a Facebook group called the Divine School of Feminine Awakening, which you can also join. And if you are based in Norfolk or Norwich, which is where I am, I run monthly women's circles, and I have a WhatsApp group for that, which is growing by the day. So come and be a part of the sacred sisterhood. And my partner and I both run Love Jam up here as well, the Norwich branch of Love Jam. So if you're looking for more like in-person community as well, come and be part of the tribe.
Cool. It sounds incredible. Thank you so much. And if you wanted to work with Shani, I'll put the details of where you can find her in the show notes. And let us know about your birth experiences. If you know about your birth and you know if this has sparked something for you, and you can see, oh my God, actually I can see how this shows up in my life, the little I know about my birth, or if you've spoken to your mother, if she's earthside, or if not, aunties or friends or fathers who may know of your birth story and feel to share it, then please contact me or Shani. I would love to hear about your experiences.
Me too. Fascinates me. I could listen to it all day.
Thank you so much for coming on, Shani, and I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Why of the Womb podcast. If this episode resonated with you and if you enjoyed this episode, please take a screenshot and share this on your social media. Tag me at Beck Wallace Birth Keeper and drop me a message. Let me know how you found it. And if you feel called, please feel free to leave a review. It just helps other people to find the podcast so that we can build community and gather together. Thanks so much. Sending all the love.